I just cannot tell you how many emails I've had from people who tell me that their dog or their cat absolutely has been back. They felt them on the bed with them. They felt the little paws going across the bed. They've seen things disturbed in the house that that pet loved before. So how common?
Well, it's extremely common. You know, I didn't even realize myself how common it was until I started actively seeking it, because people look rather flippantly upon animals altogether. And there are a lot of complexities when it comes to the subject matter. I mean, for example, if you're outside and you see an animal or running around or a bird flying through the trees, in many cases, you have no way of differentiating between this creature being a physical, tangible organism and something else. Oftentimes, animal ghosts, or as I call them, phantomals, they look just as physical as living creatures. But, you know, one thing I find intriguing about this subject is that usually when an animal ghost comes back, it's for a limited period of time. I mean, maybe a week to a few weeks. In fact, there were hundreds of stories that I didn't include for pet ghosts simply because it was that basic. I mean, well, you know, I hear my dog whining or I feel a brush on the leg, but there wasn't a real story there, so to speak. In other cases, however, you have places where there seems to be this really special connection between the environment and the animal, and it allows that creature to come back again and again, and those are the places where we even have stuff like dinosaur ghosts being reported.
Huh. Now, there's a new one. Is it your belief, Joshua, that animals have a greater propensity to come back from the other side than do humans?
I don't think there's anything greater about it. I think it's about equal. And, you know, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, looking at the connection between animate and inanimate objects and their relationship to ghosts. You know, I'm criticized sometimes by people of faith who say, well, you know, only humans have souls and animals don't.
I know.
And for you to make that claim is an insult to humans. And
I
say, well, you know, when you look at humans and animals under the microscope, I mean, at the smallest levels, there is nothing really there that you can use to tell the difference between us.
Not as far as I'm concerned, Joshua. If you live with an animal, inside dog or, in my case, inside cats, and you look at every aspect of that animal, there is nothing, in my opinion, that separates them and us, other than the ability to vocally communicate. Everything else, oh, jealousy, anger, happiness, depression, playfulness, even self-awareness, curiosity. I could go on and on and on and on with a list, but the people who live with pets know that I'm right. They have all of these things. So other than the ability to vocalize, as far as I'm concerned, my cats and cats and dogs and probably other mammals have souls. Now, that's going to engender a lot of criticism, as you mentioned, because, well, it's not supposed to be. We're supposed to be the only ones with souls. But I don't believe that, Joshua.
Well, and even beyond that, it's not even necessary to have a soul to be a ghost. So, I mean, you could say that issue of having a soul or a spirit is even irrelevant altogether. But if you want to look at it that way, then yes, there is no difference between us and them at that level. And, I mean, both of us are primarily empty space and water to start with. And then beyond that, you know, we're just a loose mixture of these other elements that we share in common with inanimate objects. And so, yes, yeah, I agree with you entirely on that point that people, or the reason people find such a connection with their animals is that because, you know, we are so similar to them, and the only difference that we have between them may be no different than what we see with humans in many cases. I mean, there are people out there who are in a state where they cannot speak or they can't relate to us, say someone who's on a life support machine. Does that mean this person is any less human than we are? No. I mean, that we are all essentially made of the same substance, and what I found is that there is no reason to believe that animals are any different in terms of their propensity to come back from the other side, so to speak.
Do you see any difference, Joshua, between what we call a ghost, whether it be that of a human or an animal, and what human beings regard as alien alien spirits or alien creatures? Are they the same sort of thing?
Well, you know, that is a question that I have learned so much more about answering just since last fall, because last fall I went to Roswell for a week and did research there for a program the Discovery Channel was planning to air, which oddly enough is in the can, and yet they have decided not to air it, even though we had some amazing stuff captured.
Why are they not going to air it?
They have not given any sort of specific explanation for why they won't air it. And in fact, months ago, Jim Mars, who also was involved with the project, brought it up on Coast to Coast when George Norrie was on, and many people contacted Discovery and were demanding to see this thing, and it's sort of mysterious why they will not air it, because, you know, I have done so much research, I've seen so many images of paranormal phenomena, and we captured something on 7 or 8 high-definition cameras in Roswell that I have never seen in my entire life. The program was called X-Ops, and assuming that you're never going to see this, I may as well go ahead and tell you what it looked
like.
Yes,
by all means, because perhaps it will tell us what it is they were afraid to air.
We were at Hangar 84, which is where, according to, you know, popular lore, the bodies were brought after the crash. And one thing that I should mention is that when we went to Roswell, we weren't just going there to do the same old story about the alien crash and the people who had seen this and that. No, the new twist was that now people in Roswell are actually seeing the ghosts of the aliens. And I mean, I'm not talking one or two people out there you might find a little wacko. I mean, these are some quite reliable people who have a great deal of credibility, people in the medical profession in particular, who are working at the area that used to be the old Roswell Army Airfield Hospital, who have been seeing the apparitions of the aliens. And so,
all right, and so what exactly did you capture on, did you say 7 or 8 high-def cameras?
There were 7 or 8 high-def cameras there, and I don't know how many of them captured this, but I assume they all must have. At one point, we did a seance in Hangar 84. Now, I personally am not big on seances. I was just there with my equipment to document what happened, but there were a couple of psychics on the team, and those people led the seance. And at one point in the middle of the session, and I mean this was a dark, cold, windy night in Roswell, what appears to be what I can best describe as a huge snake-like figure appears over our heads and slithers across Hangar 84.
And they caught this on camera? They caught this on camera and they're not airing it?
High-definition camera from multiple angles. Now, you explain that to me. I mean,
oh, no, there's no way to explain that.
That is, it's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life.